وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank and accept all your services for his beautiful deen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba in Radio Al Ansar International, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were discussing the battle of Badr and the victory to the Muslims. The senior Quraysh leaders, Utbah, Shayba, Abu Jahl, and Umayyah bin Khalaf were killed one after the other. And in total, 70 of their men were killed, and an equal number were captured. From among the Muslims, 6 Muhajireen and 8 Ansar were martyred. Now Abu Lahab did not take part in the battle. When he received news of the defeat in Makkah, he remained silent in sorrow and anger. He died within 7 days as per the order, Mutu bi ghayrikum, die with your anger. There were 2 types of people among the captives, those who were wealthy and those who were poor. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the wealthy to pay a ransom and buy their freedom. As for those who were poor, a covenant was taken from them to remain in Medina Munawwara and teach 10 children to read and write. This was their ransom. So the captives accepted this gladly. In this, the 21st century, when the world makes claims to culture and civilization, and especially Europe, which claims to be the founder of modern civilization, they can never produce the smallest example of such kind treatment to criminals and enemies as displayed by Islam over 1400 years ago. But to the contrary, the oppressors, the zalimin, they are assisted by the people of the countries of Europe and America to enact, acts of aggression and torture, etc., and oppression on the innocent residents of Palestine. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to perform Umrah in the beginning of Dhul Qa'dah in the year 6 Hijri. And he donned the ihram for the umrah, and a large group of sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, numbering approximately 1400, accompanied him. So Hudaybiyah is the name of a well which is one station away from Makkah. The village is also known as Hudaybiyah. There was a well which was absolutely dry. Through a miracle from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it gushed forth with water which sufficed the entire group. On reaching Hudaybiyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an to the Quraysh to inform them that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come solely to visit the Kaaba Sharif and perform Umrah, and not for any political purpose. When he went to Makkah, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, the Quraysh held him back in the meantime. And then the Muslims heard that he was killed. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he sat beneath an acacia tree and took a pledge, a bay'ah, of jihad from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an. This is mentioned in the Quran and is known as Baytul Ridwan. This also goes to show that our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have knowledge of everything, you know, because had he known, had knowledge of everything, he would have known that Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu hasn't been martyred or anything like that. So it was later learned that it was a false rumor. So the Quraysh sent Suhail ibn Amr to lay down the conditions for a treaty. And the following conditions were agreed upon and the treaty was signed. A peace treaty for 10 years was agreed upon. This is famously known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Muslims should return to Medina Munawwara at present. They may come back to Makkah the following year for just 3 days and then go back. They must not come with any weapons. If they carry their swords, they must remain sheathed. They must not take back any Muslim of Makkah with them. A Muslim wanting to live in Makkah Mukarramah must not be stopped. If any person leaves Makkah Mukarramah for Medina Munawwara, he must be returned. If any person from Medina Munawwara goes to Makkah Mukarramah, the unbelievers will not return him. Although all these conditions were unfavorable to the Muslims, and the treaty seemed to favor the unbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it as the victory of Fatah and revealed Suratul Fatah during this period. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an, they were not very happy with such a humiliating treaty. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was quite persistent in expressing his displeasure to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he said to him, this is what I have been commanded by Allah Ta'ala, and our future success is concealed in this. So the subsequent events prove the correctness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's response. People from Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara could now travel to and fro with peace of mind. The unbelievers began coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims. The magnetism of Islamic character attracted them to the Muslims. The historians write that an unprecedented number of people embraced Islam during this period. So this treaty was really a glad tidings, you know, for the conquest of Makkah. As was the norm, the Muslims adhered totally to the condition, the conditions that were in the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. But the Quraysh broke it in the year 8th Hijri. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an envoy to them with some conditions with a view to renewing the treaty. He added that if the conditions were not accepted, the treaty of Hudaybiyah will be broken. So the Quraysh opted to break the treaty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made full preparations for war and left Medina Munawwara with a group of 10,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum on Wednesday, the 10th Ramadan al-Mubarak in the 8th year of Hijri. After the Asr Salah, on the way, he met Abu Sufyan ibn Harith ibn Abd al-Muttalib, his paternal cousin and foster brother, and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, his maternal cousin, at a place called Abwa. They had emigrated from Makkah and were heading for Medina Munawwara. They sought permission to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he refused because they had persecuted him severely in the past. So the mother of the believers, Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, interceded on their behalf saying, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are hopeful of your noble character and your paternal and maternal cousins do not expect to be deprived of your favors. If your mercy and pardon is so widespread, why should they be deprived? On the other side, Abu Sufyan ibn Harith said, if you do not permit me entry into your assembly, I will take my son Ja'far into the desert and we will die there out of hunger and thirst. By virtue of Salama's radiallahu ta'ala anha's intercession and the remorse of these two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted them to meet him. So they presented themselves before him, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they embraced Islam. And they joined the Muslims heading towards Makkatul Mukarramah. Hafiz ibn al-Barr and Muhib Tabari narrate Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu advised Abu Sufyan ibn Harith to stand directly before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say the words which Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's brother said to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَكَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنْ كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. They said, by Allah Ta'ala, Allah has indeed chosen you above us, and we were certainly in error. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu advised him to go directly in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the modesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his blessed face and eyes will prevent Abu Sufyan from being reprimanded. And so this is exactly what happened. The mercy of the world, rahmatul lil alameen, and the embodiment of modesty, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, replied, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfirullahu lakum, wa huwa arhamur rahimin. There is no reproach on you this day. May Allah forgive you. And he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Abu Sufyan's apology was accepted. And for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement, Al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qablahu, Islam wipes out all the sins which were committed before it. Abu Sufyan's heart was totally purified, and not a single bit of ill feeling towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained. Iman, Ihsan, Ikhlas, and Iqan, faith, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, sincerity and conviction, were all firstly embedded in his heart in a manner which refused to permit the slightest particle of kufr, unbelief, to enter it. He immediately joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight and sacrifice his life for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said that out of his modesty and shame, Abu Sufyan ibn Harith never looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the eye. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to testify for paradise in his favor. May Allah be pleased with him and he with Allah. The famous companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, was till now one of the most ardent enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Quraysh. He was a commander of the Quraysh forces in practically all the battles against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prior to the conquest of Makkah, he went out of Makkah to gather information about the Islamic army. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu captured him at Mar al-Zahran, but he was pardoned when presented before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Consequently, he embraced Islam immediately, and we now refer to him as Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After he embraced Islam, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sufyan is from among the Meccan leaders, and he likes positions of authority, so give him something which should be a source of honor, pride, and distinction for him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, very well, announce that any person who seeks refuge in the house of Abu Sufyan is safe. Abu Sufyan said, O Rasulullah, how will all the people fit in my house? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any person who seeks refuge in Masjid al-Haram is also safe. Abu Sufyan said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the masjid will not suffice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any person who keeps his door closed is safe. Abu Sufyan said, yes, there is plenty of scope in this. This was one of the victorious conquests we can talk about, where not a single drop of blood was shed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pardoned and forgave his enemies. Inshallah, we shall continue with the story tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating the sacrifices of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.